Good morning, everyone. I just want to break in on Matt's show and fill you in and let you know everything you're going to hear today is pre-recorded. So if you hear any dates or anything that seems out of place, that is the reason. So that we will open the show with Matt's intro and true stories of self-defense.
Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today's April 6, 2019. We're here live for the next 2 hours, sort of, kind of. Got a couple of repeats coming up for you. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you know that I start my day with a cup of CEFCO Premium Joe coffee, right? Well, I'm showing you in the video right now that my cup have changed because the CEFCO cup had a leak in it. But anyway, I'll show it to you real quick. Here it is. I drink my fresh Premium Joe in the morning because it tastes the same every time. I don't have to worry about it being bitter or anything like that. So it's good. Check it out. They also got a special. They got two Powerade 32-ounce bottles for $2.50. So check it out. Tell the girls hi. Say you heard it on the show, you know, and just have a good time today. Pick up a pack of smokes, newspaper, whatever it takes to get your day going, and wash it down with a couple bottles of Powerade. If you want to be part of this show today, give us a call here at the studio. It's 254-697-6633. Or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. And don't forget, we're simulcasting right here, right now, on this station, KMIL 105.1 FM, The Ranch, and out of Rockdale at KRXT 98.5 FM. If for some reason you're having bad reception, go to the respective websites and tune in that way. And give us a call, like I said, at 254-697-6633. Don't forget the social media aspects of the program. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. I've always got updates, product spotlights, neat things, training videos, the whole works. And like us there. Also on Instagram, follow us there on Instagram. And by all means, for sure, without fail, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the YouTube channel and become a subscriber there. Tons and tons of great stuff. Interviews, product demos, the whole works. So check it out. Let me give you an idea what's coming up on today's show. First of all, I've got a license to carry class April 20th, 2019. That's this year. That's what, in a couple weeks? We still got seats available. So give me a call or give me an email and we'll get you locked into that one. True stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. And this week's stories are from 1982. Let's see if anything has changed in how people defend themselves. There's really not a change. You're only really going to see is a difference in the writing of the stories and possibly the types of calibers that they're using. Today's License to Carry Attorney segment is going to be talking about gun rights, the NFA, and the Gun Control Act of 68. It's always good to know where these things come from, what they mean, and how they affect us when it comes to using, purchasing, possessing firearms. Next will be the delicious Janae Goodman telling us about fats and oils. What's the difference and how to make your own? Now, I asked her specifically on this because I don't know about you, but when I look at the process of making lard, I thought it was very interesting. And the finished product just looked very appealing, even though it's fat or lard or whatever you want to call it. It's just a pretty white how it comes to be. So I just thought that'd be an interesting thing. Plus, we can use it in times for preparedness. It's good to have on hand. At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the Duke of Decency, the communicator of common sense, the pontificator of practicality, and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Following the chief will be the devotional minute. That's always a great thing. If you want to become a member of that or sign up to the list on that, I can tell you about that probably after the 11 o'clock hour. Then on the product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, this week's going to be the Ruger Super Blackhawk and 44 Mag. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, you'll see the video there of me holding it. It's a beast. It's a tank. It's your faithful companion, okay? So we're going to talk about it. Give ANC Firearms a call, 254-983-4417. My special guest this week, by special request, will be me. A little bit of this and a little bit of that, okay? So we'll be talking about a lot of stuff during that. And before the close of the show, if we're lucky, we're going to have Master Cindy Keehan here to show us another self-defense move using me as practice target. And I know you always enjoy that. So strap yourselves in, crank up the volume, tell everybody you know to listen, and get your note-taking material ready, because after this break, we're going to be starting the show with true stories. Okay, take us out of here. We'll see you on the other side. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's my board operator's fault for the delay in me getting back. He's cranking out Smoke on the Water. I was telling him about the story of how that song came to be. Fantastic song, great song, gets me going. We're here at the True Stories of Self-Defense. And ladies and gentlemen, I got a couple extras here. I got a WTF moment, or actually a Delta Foxtrot moment. For any of you military personnel out there, you can figure that one out. And then I got one that I just can't believe, so I don't know where to start. I'll tell you what, let's start with the Armed Citizens column. This is from 1982. I got four stories here. I'm going to read them cold, give you my personal opinion on them, and see what we find here. Story number one. Steve and Marion Wynn were stopped at a Miami, Florida traffic light when an elderly woman in the car next to them began to gesture frantically for help. The Wynns gave chase and followed the car for some distance before it abruptly stopped. Wynn pulled his .38 caliber revolver as a pair of kidnappers bolted from the car. The woman and a friend had been sitting in the back seat of the car waiting for their husbands when the criminal pair jumped in and drove off. Whoa. Story number one, lock your door. Story number two, if you forget to lock your door and you're sitting in the back seat, have a gun. Number three, if a couple people jump in and try to kidnap you, you pull out your gun from your purse or wherever you got it, and you stick it to their head, and you say, get out of the freaking car. Now, when it comes to the Wynns, great job. He was prepared. He had his .38 revolver on him, and he saved the day. So good job for him. Lessons learned. Story number two. A pair of thugs started beating Woodrow Wilson Glanston of Newark, New Jersey. Then they took his wallet, his money, and his car keys. But the 69-year-old Glanton drew a .25 automatic, opened fire, hitting one of the criminals in the chest, killing him. The other robber was wounded by the... This is interesting here. I just quickly glanced at it. The other robber was wounded by an irate relative of the dead man when he reported the crime and killing. Did I read that right? So here you got this older gentleman who used a .25 auto. So for all you people saying a .25 auto can't kill, well, it can, okay? Granted, there's other calibers that'll do it better, but a .25 auto will kill you if it hits the right spot. The other thing is here, I guess, if I'm reading this right, a relative, is that what, yeah, a relative was kind of PO'd by the whole thing and shot the other guy. Okay, that's a little confusing. I'm going to pass on to the third story. John C. Fletcher was working in his Pewaukee, Wisconsin gun store when he heard a hammering on one of the building's walls. He grabbed a .357 Magnum revolver and went to investigate. He found a would-be burglar trying to pound his way into the store. Fletcher held him for police. You know, I don't get this. These guys, you know, I thought bad guys are stupid today, but back then you're pounding on the wall of a gun store. Don't you look to see if it's open or anybody's in it? And then the other big thing on this story is Mr. Fletcher went and grabbed his weapon first to investigate. And in this story, it was a revolver. Notice how the stories in 1982, they're either revolvers or small caliber pistols. Because right about that time is when everything exploded with the compact nines and everything like that. So we were still reading the stories of the older type of guns here. Okay. So the main thing in the story is go get your weapon first to investigate. Story number four. Minnie Stoner and her husband, both 77, returned to their Sacramento, California trailer home one evening to find a youthful burglar inside. When the hoodlum began to beat her husband, Mrs. Storer pulled a .38 caliber revolver from a chair and fired, hitting the assailant in the abdomen. Once again, revolver, .38, common. Mama's taking care of Papa, good deal, working as a team, and she wasn't afraid to use it. So, and the accuracy was much better than we have seen in much sooner, more recent times. People getting shot in the legs, lack of training. Maybe she went to the range and trained a little bit. So there you go. Four stories from the Armed Citizens Column from 1982, the American Rifleman. Let me jump over here to a Delta Foxtrot moment. Figure it out. Belton man dies after apparent accidental shooting. Belton, a 25-year-old man, died Sunday evening after a gun with which he was reportedly playing with went off and killed him. Friends were with the man when it happened. The man's name hasn't been released yet. Belton Police Department responded, blah, blah, blah. There you go. It appears as an accidental shooting. I think from later reports he was spinning it on his finger or something. ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you're that stupid to be playing with a gun like that, you know, sometimes you get what you need to get. I don't know. Don't play with the guns. Guns are serious business. You put your finger on the trigger when you're ready to shoot, okay? Not yourself. I've got an article here that kind of irritated the heck out of me, and I'm going to read it to you. Yes, this segment's going a little long. And I don't know where the article came from. I lost the article origin. Let's see if we can figure it out. A mom armed with a pistol reportedly saved her 5-year-old daughter from being kidnapped at a West Virginia mall Monday night. The incident happened in Old Navy at the Huntington Mall in Barbersville around 6 p.m. as Mohammed Fathi Hussein Zayan, 54, from Alexandria, Egypt, grabbed the child by the hair and attempted to pull her away, reports WYMT. Police say the mother then pulled out a handgun and told the suspect to let go of the child. The mother told the police that the man let go of the girl and ran out of the store into the mall. Zayan was taken into custody after he was located near walking near the food court. The woman helped police track the man down in the mall, reports the reporter. According to WYMT, it's weird letters, the magistrate has revoked Zion's passport and an Arabic language phone translator was needed during the arraignment. His bond is set at $200,000. Okay? So here you got some dude pulling a girl's hair. Looks like it's being dragged away. Mama goes into action and does what she's got to do, and God bless her for it. Thank goodness for that mama. Now, the twist. Update. Armed mom blames cultural misunderstanding after accusing Middle Eastern man of attempting to kidnap daughter. The mom who thwarted an Egyptian man's alleged attempt to kidnap her 5-year-old daughter walked back her claims Tuesday, telling police she may have culturally misunderstood what this dude was doing to his daughter, her daughter. After reviewing footage, ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting sick of this crap. This political correctness stuff about immigration, immigrants, cultural differences. Screw that. Screw them. You touch my daughter if I got a daughter, I'm going to do the same thing, and you're lucky I don't pull a freaking trigger. This cultural BS is exactly what it is. BS. Get over it. Get to the basic fundamentals, protection, and get over this political correctness crap. I'm done, Kincaid. Let's take a break. When I get back here, we're going to have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, and we're going to be talking NFA GSA Act 68. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. I have done something different here. I've always had an opinion piece. Well, I've decided to change it from an opinion piece to an observation piece. And let me explain to you why. On this observation piece, I've titled it Counseling, Observations, and Opinions. Ladies and gentlemen, I've decided to change my opinion pieces into observation pieces. And let me tell you why. I listen, read, and watch many sources of information that, instead of giving me the facts, give me their opinions. Political radio shows are the worst. Caller after caller gets on the air and complains up and down about what's not being done or how it should be done, but give no explanation as to how to get it done. Even worse is that they themselves are doing nothing to help get it done, whatever it is. These callers and people like them are frustrated, and in most cases, rightly so. But to complain, moan, and give your opinion doesn't get anything done. You must get engaged into the problems that bother you. That's why I'm on the air. I'm getting engaged. I don't want to be surrounded by unprepared people. So I get on the air and explain how to be prepared. I teach it. I show it. I live it. So if you're going to criticize me for whatever reason, don't give me your opinion. Either make an observation or give me good counsel if you're in the position to do so. Now, I'm a definition guy, so let me give you clear definitions of these three words: counseling, observation, and opinion. Observation's a noun. The action or process of observing something or someone carefully or in order to gain information. A few synonyms would be viewing, survey, surveillance, study. Opinion, that's a noun too. A view or judgment formed about something not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. A few synonyms would be viewpoint, angle, slant, perspective. And finally, counseling. That's a noun as well. The provision of assistance and guidance in resolving personal, social, or psychological problems and difficulties, especially by a professional. Synonyms for that one would be advise, guide, direct, warn, caution. Now, notice how opinion does nothing to help the situation. It's just an expenditure of hot air. Observation, however, is a study of the situation. And if the information can be analyzed and broken down, it may become useful to someone who then can counsel someone to whom it may apply. So, ladies and gentlemen, with my observation of opinions, my counsel to you would be to just have a nice conversation instead. At least this way, both sides of the conversation can get their opinions across.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bolts. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. The good things in life. Trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody. We are back, September 23rd, 2017. And we are now here sitting to my left is attorney Benton Ross Watson. It's being sponsored Woo! By Coppolino Dobb Krebs Law Firm, and we are just so thankful for that. And attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, I'm telling you, you're paying my medical bills, dude. That's right. Don't look at me like that. I'm carrying satchel bags.
I thought you had a case with Rick or something.
All this fan mail, man. Have him email it to you or something. All right, here we are. We're here today, and we're talking about Penal Code 941 and 942, protection of one's own property and deadly force to protect one's property. And we do this periodically from time to time because so many people, you know, you hear it, and you go, what can I do? I go, first of all, study your books. But I know you're not going to, so that's why I'm here. We're going to repeat every now and then, repeat what's going on and explain the do's and the don'ts, the cans and the can-nots, and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, we've talked about how many thousands of, and really into the millions of laws that there are in a couple of episodes, and I just busted my pen again.
You're thinking about your girlfriend.
So, yeah. So, the legislature has tried to, through codification of these laws, take into account for so many situations, but I can understand why people read this and don't want to read all of these provisions because, you know, there's so many instances in life that, you know, you can't put down in black and white, and they're hard to account for.
And I've learned from you guys, you and Rick, that even though it's in black and white, the part that isn't black and white, it almost doesn't mean anything. It almost doesn't mean anything because it's like the personality of the judge with the entering to court, the attitude of a juror. I mean, don't do it, everybody. Wait till the last minute before you have to use that weapon.
And that's exactly right. That's probably the best advice that you can give.
Mark that down.
I understand that there's going to be the environments and circumstances where a person is going to, it's not going to feel the same. You know, we can sit here and say that, oh, you wait till the last moment, but, you know.
Well, everybody's last moment is different.
Different, exactly. And so even that has a different meaning in what somebody thinks may be the last moment or what may be necessary, okay, is going to be different in every case. And that's so why when we talk to jurors about any kind of self-defense case, one thing we go into is you're looking at it from what the defendant's, my client's point of view, what did my client think was necessary immediately in those circumstances?
Mm-hmm. And you got to convey that to have other people believe it.
And so one of my favorite things to say is, you know, the state's going to get up there and say, well, it's got to be a reasonable belief. And they always talk about a reasonable doubt. Doesn't mean beyond all doubt. Well, is anybody here paranoid?
Not me.
Is anybody here psychotic?
Well, that might be the
case. I mean, we may have some problems, but for the most part, if you have doubts and you're a reasonable person, it's a reasonable doubt.
There you go.
Okay, and so if there's any reasonable doubt, even one, then the verdict's got to be not guilty. Okay, and so it's the same concept. Is my client a psychotic just because he got into a fight or just because he was involved in this situation? I talked about what happened with me just about a month ago. I mean, I had nothing to do with that. I was trying to get out of there. I mean, so a lot of times good people are put into bad circumstances, and they have to figure out a way to get out of them.
But the more prepared you are, hopefully through shows like this, the less problematic it will be as if you got to go to court.
Right, and so like you said, if you always have it in your mind to wait till it's absolutely necessary, right, then at least you're going to try to wait till it's absolutely necessary. And that may be different for you, but that's what you can argue.
Okay, Ross, I want to ask you, I want to set this up first. There's a lot of terms in here that people ask me all the time. And I want to hear from you if you're okay with this. Because I want to use the terms that you're going to give definitions to as standby blocks of information when it comes into the story of somebody having to defend themselves. If they've got these bits of information that are not deniable, you can't deny it. It is what it is. It means what it means. And let me give you an example of one. What is tangible movable property.
Well, we really now, we haven't gotten into
listen to all this stuff that we're going to talk about, and just make notes so that when you apply your storyline to it, you have definitions.
But, so again, we've talked about self-defense. Okay. It's self-defense of a person, of yourself, of another person, okay, of your child, wife, whatever. But today we're talking about defensive property. Start at, some people would say, well, why do we need defensive property if you can defend yourself? Well, sometimes somebody trying to take your personal property, okay, or other times you're on your land, and some people would say, well, why if you're on your land, we already know that you get the presumption to use self-defense, and it's not even, arguably they can't even arrest you, and it's not even affirmative defense so much as it is a complete protection that you're authorized to use force when you're in your house or on your land and somebody's coming into it. Well, even if you get into one of those instances, and that's not necessarily true, but even if you're there, remember, the self-defense code talks about an occupied residence, an occupied vehicle, an occupied place of employment. And so it sort of gives this implication, and we don't know for sure yet, and what I was saying is a little vague. It sounds specific, but it's not really, okay? But it gives this implication that maybe you have to be there. And so what if you come home and somebody's there and there's nobody else at your house? It was in the middle of the day. I gave this example last year when we had a show on a similar topic. So if you come home and somebody's robbing your house, technically that house wasn't occupied. Maybe the cat. Okay, but I don't think that's what the code is talking about. And
see what I mean? Black and white isn't black and white.
Right. And so we get there. Now, if you go in and do something, can you really use the self-defense provision? Well, it was an occupied residence. You sure don't get the presumption. And so your lawyer is going to want to also tack onto that defensive property. Okay, and so we go, and this is where we are. And the code talks about, in the first instance, in Texas Penal Code Section 9.41, it talks about a person who is in lawful possession of land or tangible personal property. Okay, tangible, I think, comes from tangere. I think some folks would tell you about
Greek.
It's Latin. It's Latin. Yeah, yeah. Noli me tangere, touch me not, don't touch me. Okay, so comes from a tangent, meaning touching the point, a tangent vertical point that's touching, abutting to something. So it's tangible personal property, something that's palpable, something that we have, we can move. And that's why they added that qualifier on their movable property. Now, yes, we can sit here and we could take all the time trying to come up with what property could be tangible and not tangible. Stock. Typically is not technically a tangible property, but you could classify that down into a certificate
of
stock.
Does this relate to like real estate, where if it's not attached, like you got plants, you can't cut the plants down and take them because then you're taking the...
And you could argue it's a fixture, right? You could argue, is it a fixture to real property? But if the burglar has gone in and removed your sink, which was probably a fixture... At this point, is it still classified as land? I don't know, but either way, I don't think it's going to matter. Okay, you're going to be entitled probably to the same defense unless he actually gets off and out of that house. Okay, and so this is going to say that the subsection A is talking about being in lawful possession, and so I take this to mean we're at home and we have somebody come in and trespass into the house, and because it speaks to we're going to prevent. Or terminate, we're going to stop an action, right, that's maybe just beginning or just in progress, okay, and we're going to stop it before it's consummated, before it's in completion, before that thing is complete, okay, and so we're going to terminate or get we're going to get out in front of this thing before it actually happens or gets to a point that it has, you know, you would say this act is finalized, mm-hmm. Okay, and so we're going to, maybe if we walk home even, maybe we haven't technically been in lawful possession, but we haven't actually lost any of our personal property yet that's in that house. So maybe we go in the house to use force to prevent him from dispossessing us of our property. When I say him, I mean the burglar, the thief, or the person we think is the burglar.
Can't somebody say you're escalating?
Well, and so
because
because
you weren't in the house. You weren't occupying, but you went in to occupy.
It's my house. I think I have a right to go inspect what's going on my property.
Granted, but like I said, black and white ain't black and white. So I'm just saying.
I think I definitely have a right to go in and inspect my property and see what the heck is going on when my door's wide open. It looks.
Do you even really need a reason to go into your own home?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Do I even need a reason just to go into my own house? If the law is trying to tell me that I do, then, I mean, I do think the law is unreasonable, and that's why I do what I do. But I think that we've gotten to a point where we have no reliability whatsoever in the justice system. If they're telling me I can't go onto my own property.
Okay.
So I think absolutely my answer is that, yes, you can go on your property. I can see there'd be some kind of liberal and even some crazy conservative, a super crazy conservative would say, oh, you should have just automatically called the cops when you saw your door broke down. Man, that's great, but that's just not how life works. Okay, and I have absolute right, I think, to go on my property. And in my property, especially my house. Okay, and so when I go into my house, right, that's what this code tells me. I have a right to terminate or prevent the other's trespass on the land or unlawful interference with property. I can go in, okay, and inspect, and that's not using force at all whatsoever. There's no way the law could tell me that I didn't have a right to go in my house. Okay, and so once I go in my house, right, if I see him trying to take property, at that point I can use force to subdue the trespasser or the... That's what the shopkeeper's privilege is about. There's a Rick Dodd would be a great one to ask about this. This is kind of a civil case. He's done some civil assaults, okay? Well, this is what the shopkeeper's privilege. When you go in and you're trying to shoplift, that security guard or even an employee there has got a right to use reasonable force to detain you and prevent you from leaving the store and prevent you from taking that property.
Okay.
And so they've got an actual right to subdue you like I do, and I can use that force, okay, to prevent that interference. But what happens when the guy gets out of the house and he's running away with this property? Now the code has this second section, the subsection B, talking about unlawful dispossession, and I have a right to re-enter the land or recover the property if the actor uses the force immediately or in fresh pursuit. Me, if I use this force immediately or in fresh pursuit. Now, what is fresh pursuit? Fresh pursuit goes back to these old English common law days from the England courts, and what is equity and authority from the king versus from the courts of the church, and then later the courts of law. Okay, and so it goes to an officer going outside of his jurisdiction. Also, we talk about when we have a police officer that maybe didn't have jurisdiction to go into Arkansas. They can use fresh pursuit if they've been chasing that defendant from Texas. They can go into Arkansas because their jurisdiction is kept alive by reason of the chase. Okay, and so that's the same as true with your house. On the Fourth Amendment, a police officer can't go into your house. But if he's given chase immediately from the scene, he's seen you commit this, okay, then he's got a right without a warrant to enter your house because he still has the authority by reason of the chase. His authority is kept alive, and it's also under the exigent circumstances, emergency circumstances provision. At that point, it becomes, right, an emergency situation where the officer's got a right to chase. The same is true for you in these types of instances. I have a right to give chase to protect my property, but if there is, it's got to be continuous. If there's some kind of unreasonable...
Does continuous mean any type of distance?
That's going to be a fact question. I know you want an answer, but I can't give you one. There's going to be a fact question. I think.
My answer. My answer is I don't know. So my safety net line would be property line per city block.
I don't think it's necessary that maybe you lose sight of the person. I think, you know, if he ducks around the corner, I think if you keep chasing, right, and maybe you lose him for... We all watch those cool cop shows when they're chasing folks. I mean, it's almost every cop show.
They got a badge on, though.
But it's the same. It's the same kind of situation to go get your property. It is the fresh pursuit, right, is interpreted, maybe not constitutionally interpreted exactly the same, right, but for the purposes, that's going to be the same type of definitions that we're going to get in. So if they've got a right to chase, we've got a right to chase. But remember, if you don't have a license to carry, okay, and you're carrying a handgun out here, we've talked about those cases that I don't agree with, by the way, and I don't know how they'll play out under some of the new rules, but I said be very careful because that doesn't necessarily entitle you to take a handgun out in the public if you don't have a license to carry. And so that's another reason why you should have a license to carry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an excellent segment here. If you have any questions, 254-697-6633. You're crazy if you don't call. You've got an attorney here who knows his stuff. 254-697-6633. Go ahead.
But so I'm going to get to the point. The other section is not as difficult because this one applies to the other section as well. But Not only do those things have to be true, not only does it have to be fresh pursuit, then you've got if, right, and. So, and the actor, meaning you reasonably believe the other had no claim of right. Well, obviously, if it's your property, they're not going to have a claim that they had a right to take it. Okay, obviously, if it's a burglar, you're going to, and or it's a guy with a hoodie on that you can't see, and you know, unless you're in some kind of divorce case, it's getting nasty. All right, and you're hiring me or, you know, Michelle Lemkiel or somebody like that. I think Rick was smart. He got out of the family law business a while ago. But I think you can get into one of those maybe where there might be some gray area. Maybe you're feuding with family. But if that's going on, maybe you should call in before you give chase. But otherwise, anybody's going to know that the other person's not going to have a claim of right. There could become instances in business type of situations, though, where maybe somebody thought they had a lien. Okay, on a piece of property, maybe when a tow truck driver pulls up to take this property, you know exactly what's going on. There was actually a good case where a guy thought his girlfriend's car was being stolen, and it was a repo guy that came up to get it, and he used deadly force against the repo man, and sure enough, he got charged for that, and he was able to assert a jury charge. And the trial court denied it to him because it said your girlfriend didn't have a right to use it. But he said, well, I reasonably believed there was no claim of right. Went up on appeal. They said he had a right to make the claim to the jury. I think that there's more complex than what I've given today. But
that's why repo guys make a lot of money, huh?
Yeah, well, I guess, I mean, that's part of the job.
Part of the risk.
And then the other accomplishes it through force, threat, or fraud, meaning the thief or the burglar uses some kind of force, threat, or fraud to accomplish the dispossession. And I don't think I need to go into that. You're going to know what the force or the fraud or the threat is to use it. It's such, maybe he has a hammer. He says, if you don't let me get out of this house, I'm going to kill you. Okay, well, then you let him go, okay? Then you got a right to give chase maybe with your own hammer. All right? And so at that point, that's getting into the deadly force area, and this is where we're going with this. So we get into section 9.42, and it says you've got to be justified under those provisions that we just talked about. Okay? You got to be justified under 941. And when you reasonably believe that deadly force is immediately necessary, and I want these words mean things. Okay, and so listen to these words. To prevent the imminent commission, meaning imminent, it is on the verge of happening right now. The commission, the completion of the whatever act is about to happen. So to prevent, meaning it has not happened yet, but it's imminent, it's about to happen, it's on the verge of happening, arson, burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime, criminal mischief during the nighttime. So, burglary is entering a habitation unlawfully, right, with the intent to commit a series of items which can be of violence, okay, or theft. Okay, so entering a habitation to commit a theft would be burglary. That's burglary.
And just for clarification, if you weren't intending to burglarize, but you went in there, that's just trespassing. Would that be the separation between the two?
Exactly.
Okay.
And actually, let me get through this first, make sure I get through it. But there's a good case on this, and I want to talk about it before I get out of here. But you reasonably believe these things. So it doesn't actually have to be actual robbery, okay, but or burglary. But it's got to be a reasonable belief, okay, that you are preventing the commission of it.
I got you.
Okay, and so prevent. So if it has already been done, if it has already been accomplished, then a good argument from the other side is going to be, and I say the other side, I mean the prosecutor, is going to be that provision does not apply because it has already been done.
Wow.
Okay? And so we go to the next subsection, which is to prevent the other who is fleeing immediately after committing one of those things. So this time it has already been done. The act has been completed. This person has committed burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime. By the way, it leaves out criminal mischief on this second provision. Okay? So, fleeing immediately after committing burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, or theft during the nighttime. If you remember, the previous subsection said criminal mischief during the nighttime. So, if you're coming in and a guy just started the first letter of his graffiti, okay? or something to that effect and is destroying property, you probably have a right to stop him. Yes, he has completed some of the destruction, right? But it is obvious that he is continuing to do it. So he has not completed his full act of the destruction, which could make a difference whether it's a felony, a misdemeanor, class A, B, C misdemeanor, okay? Because, you know, $250 worth of damage is a whole lot different than $5,000,
right?
Okay? And so you can prevent this, right, further destruction of your property. But if it's done, and so criminal mischief, the property's done, it ain't being taken, it's just being destroyed. Okay, so if the person is taking the property now, he's completed the act of burglary, boom, he's bolted out the door, you see him bolting out the door, there he goes with your property. Is he escaping with the property and you reasonably believe that that has happened and you reasonably believe, right, that he's committed one of those things and he's escaping with your property and you reasonably believe that the land or property cannot be protected or recovered by any other means, or you believe one of these two things, the use of force other than deadly force to protect or recover the land or property would expose you or another to a substantial risk of death or serious bodily injury. In other words, you can't get this property back, or you're going to get somebody hurt if you go try to get it back. Okay? And so you asked me a good question a year ago, what about insurance? I still don't know. I don't know. There's no way for me to interpret it. We haven't had a case in the last year.
Well, you know the question I asked, and I know the question you asked, but let's reiterate it.
So can land or property be protected or recovered by any other means? My argument is insurance doesn't protect that piece of property if I can never get that piece of property back. Insurance does not recover that piece of property. That piece that was stolen will never be recovered. Your argument is, yeah, but it does protect the value of that property.
And I said, that wasn't my argument. I'm just using it as a...
I'm giving you a hard time. Right? So, I mean, I don't know. I think they're both good arguments. Okay? And I don't know what's going to happen. And this is why you have a lawyer. But this is why we also have... Or I just hit my tooth on the microphone. Right, the use of force other than deadly force to protect him would cause substantial death or bodily injury, serious bodily injury to another person. If it's covered by insurance and that argument works, you're never going to get to number two because nobody ever has to go recover that piece of property.
Ladies and gentlemen, you must sign electronically an affidavit now that states that you understand these laws. You've been told these laws, you've learned these laws, you understand these laws. Now look at how complex they can be under a situation, especially if you're stressed out. You better pay attention.
And I argue,
give us a call. You better read your laws and get them learned.
And I argue that the insurance argument, though, is a slippery slope because, I mean, there are some things that cannot be recovered. It ain't the value that I want to protect so much in my family heirloom.
Yeah, the way
it's
you,
the nostalgia.
The way you term it, though, Ross, makes it clear. I cannot replace that item, serial number, such and such and such and such. I could get another, but it's not that one. So when you say it like that, it makes it so clear, but it gets muddled in the fight in the courtroom.
Right. And so how are you going to, I mean, there are some things that cannot be replaced, but that's what I was trying to tell you. If it is just, I mean, if it is something that can be replaced, if it's a PlayStation they're leaving with, if it's a TV or something, don't try to make new law. Just let it go. If you've got insurance, let it go.
I agree.
Right. And fight another day. But if it is something that is so important or it's a, you know, it's a priceless item. Okay, then that may give you a right to argue too. Even if insurance could apply, right? It don't apply in that situation because I can never get that priceless item back.
Right.
I can never even go buy that item again. And then the state never even has a chance to make this argument. Right? Or if they do, it's completely unreasonable. And so this is what I'm saying. I mean, try to not push these limits. And if you do, I'll try to protect you, okay? But, you know, you're probably going to need help protection.
You said something, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but just what's priceless to one person is not to another. So let's say, for example, you've got this picture. It's just a basic picture. You can replicate it very easily. But your daughter or your son wrote on it, "Daddy, I love you," in his or her third grade crayons, and you can never get it back, and it's an emotionally attached item to you and somebody's taking it. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. No value. That's probably not even worth anything. Probably has no economic value. Okay, but It has value to you.
That's right.
Right? And so that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Okay.
We have 1 minute. Well, be careful because there's a case called Adami, and there was some illegal aliens in the house, and the man walked up and as he was hunting.
You're talking non-documented workers, right?
Yeah. Non-documented, foreign.
Illegal aliens, man.
Yeah. And so he comes and sees him in his house, and sure enough, he fires off on him, and he gets charged with murder. So you have to be very careful about exactly if it was necessary to protect your property, if it was necessary to take the action. And nothing is going to protect a purpose to inflict pain or harm or malice, use malice against somebody, if the main purpose is not actually to protect that property. So even if you did use malice, you better make sure that you're able to put on a good case that you were actually just protecting your property.
Ross, you're fantastic. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
254-605-4140 is my number. 254-605-4140. I'm here in Cameron. My main primary office is 105 East Main Street. Again, here in Cameron. You can just ask people around town, too, if you need to holler at me. Benton@watson.legal. Benton@watson.legal. Thank you guys for having me.
Stop sending all these paper letters of fan mail. Send an email directly to Ross. Ross, can't thank you enough.
Take care until next week.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. The good things in life. Trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 U.S. 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you Wednesdays. I picked the one that kind of affected me the most here. And give you an example of what it is. I write, good morning. Loving those and praying for those we hate. ... Who the heck wants to do that? Right? As we grow in Christ, we come to realize the wisdom and love of Christ. And with that, the capacity to love even our enemies. We are to be Christ-like. And Christ is love. And this comes from Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And this is me closing it up. Just to be clear, we try to be Christ-like. I know it can be tough being in the flesh to pull this one off, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? Have a blessed day. So that's an example, ladies and gentlemen, of the testimonials I send Monday through Friday. If you want to be on the list, please send me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Say who you are. Say you heard it. Give me your textable phone number, and I shall send it to you as well. Remember, though, I send them Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 in the morning, sometime in there. So if you don't want to be dinged, put your phone on silent.
Hello, my lovelies. Temperatures are climbing, and let's get real. Unless you're waking up before the sun does, the only bed you're interested in is your room. Today, I'm going to help you get your garden prepped and in gear for summer. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Let's talk about what you should be harvesting. This is the peak time to pull out any strawberries, tomatoes, spring onions, squash, cucumbers, and eggplants if you have any. Carrots and leafy greens are well overdue for harvesting. They may carry a bitter taste if they're kept in warmer weather for too long. If you notice this is the case with your crops, I suggest letting them sprout seeds and harvest those instead so that you're ready for next year's planting season, which will come around late fall or early winter for us here in Texas. So what can you do with all this produce? Well, summer harvest just screams ratatouille, so here's an easy recipe to make your own at home. For a decent quart-sized pot of ratatouille stew, you'll need one medium sweet yellow onion or four spring onions, 4 to 6 cloves of garlic, minced, 4 medium ripe tomatoes, large dice please, 1 large yellow squash, sliced into coins, a large zucchini cut into coins, and a medium eggplant that's been salted and rinsed. You'll also want olive oil for cooking and salt and pepper to taste. Sweat your medium diced onions and minced garlic in olive oil over medium high heat until the onions are translucent. Add in your sliced yellow squash and zucchini. Saute until coated in oil. Next, toss in your eggplant and stir to coat. Slide in your chopped tomatoes and stir until thoroughly incorporated. Season with salt and pepper and reduce to a medium heat. Cover your stew and let it simmer for about 20 to 30 minutes, stirring occasionally. Once cooked to perfection, serve your stew with rice or pasta and top it with mozzarella cheese. You can add in meat for a heartier meal as well. I recommend ground sausage for a burst of flavor. The best thing about this dish is the flavors intensify if it sits overnight, so your leftovers will be just as delicious. That's assuming you have any leftover. You're all harvested, so what now? Well, you've got a few options. If you choose to plant for the summer season, I highly suggest choosing crops that don't require a ton of maintenance. Sweet potatoes are great for planting, and they have a bonus of being somewhat drought resistant. If you choose to plant these, make sure that you give their roots plenty of room. You can do so by creating a hill in the center of your garden bed, utilizing the soil from the sides of the bed. Plant your sweet potato plants at the top of the hill, and cover your newly planted crops with hay or mulch, and give them plenty of water. Tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, and squash can still be put in the ground as well. Although these will take a bit more maintenance than your sweet potatoes, they yield a ton of delicious product. If you're looking forward to pumpkins this fall, now is the time to get them in the ground. Pumpkins and other varieties of fall squash thrive in warm weather. If you're not about maintaining a garden bed this summer, I understand and I empathize with you. Put your beds to sleep instead. To put a garden bed to sleep means that you're halting any growth for the season. You can do so by fertilizing the bed and covering the surface with cardboard. This can easily be done by laying down a broken down cardboard box. Be sure to cover the cardboard with a bit of mulch. This will ward off some of the weeds that are attempting to take over your garden, so you're not straining when you're ready to plant again. If you'd like to get one more crop in the ground and double dip by fixing nitrogen into your soil, plant beans before putting your bed to sleep. Let the plant sprout, harvest your beans, pull your bean plants out of the ground when they're done harvesting, and lay the pulled plants on top of the bed. You can break down the plants with a garden tool and let them decompose before covering the bed with cardboard and mulch, as mentioned before. I tend to do this with black-eyed peas or green beans. As always, shoot me an email at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com if you have any questions about this or any previous segments. Pew, pew. I'm open to ideas for things that you'd like to hear on the show, so email me about those as well. That's all for me this week, so until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a wonderful Saturday morning. A little gloomy outside today and kind of crisp for this time of year. I remember last year, I think in May, it was rather warm. Matter of fact, the air conditioners were pumping out and going, and today they're not much. Hey, you know, this week's going to be a little bit different. I was going to do a follow-up from last week when we talked about sex trafficking, and I was going to kind of do the second portion of that. But when I looked around, this week is a very special week for those of us that were in law enforcement. Beginning on Monday is the start of National Memorial Police Week. Then the 15th is actually Police Memorial Day. So what I thought I'd do today is kind of do a little bit of a an overview of that date, and also do a little bit of a memorial for the officers in Texas who gave their life on the line. You know, when you think about police work and you think about the number of officers that have been killed in the line of duty, in the United States of America, since they started keeping statistics, there have been 21,183 law enforcement officers killed, not include those killed already this time of year for 2019. And unfortunately, last year, we set an all-time high for the number of officers that were killed in the United States, 144. And it's kind of sad to think that the statistics are going up. I have my own reasons why I believe that's happening, but I'm not going to get into politics or into legal jargon and all the things that go along with protests and things of that nature. But I do believe that we've got to right that right somehow. You know, you think, you'd never think of police officers being in the modern day war. You know, we keep in the news about the people that are killed and our soldiers that are killed overseas. Well, the police officers of today are in a war that's just as horrible and just as busy as the ones that across the pond. You know, I thought to myself over the years, why would anybody want to be a police officer? There's not a lot of money in it. You have terrible work hours. You work all the holidays. You don't get to sleep most of the time with your family or see your family on a regular basis. But it takes a special kind of person that decides to do everything they can to make our society a better place to live. You know, and when you look at that, when you look at what it takes to be a police officer, there's an old saying, once a Marine, always Marine. Well, I've got a couple of shirts that have said, my watch may be over, or my time in uniform may be over, but my watch never ends. Because once you're a true cop and once you put in the years to be a true cop, there's something about it that you never get out of your system. It's with you the rest of your life because you only see the good. You know, there was a remark made when they had the shooting this past week up in Colorado that all the kids were running out of the school, and they showed a photograph of all the police officers running into the school. And that's what I think that's what takes that special breed of a police officer. You know, it takes someone who's willing to give their life with no chance of return. You know, and that takes a very special breed. I'm not saying that police officers are any more important, any more special than anybody else. But the way I look at it, and maybe this is the wrong way to look at it, but when you kill a police officer or you maim a police officer, you killed or you've maimed a human being. Same as anybody else that gets murdered. But when you kill or maim a police officer that's doing their job, you're not killing just a police officer. You're killing what that person stands for, the right of rights, upholding our laws and doing what's right. You know, and if a person's willing to kill a policeman who's armed in uniform, would he ever think twice on someone else about hurting them or hurting your children? I don't know. That's a good quality answer that someone might one day can answer. But what I thought I'd do is to kind of break this all down today is I want to kind of give you two insights about situations. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of a singer that happened that was a very popular singer back in the 60s, early 70s, and even in the 50s. The singer's name was Eddie Arnold. He was a country music singer. You know, my folks, God rest their souls, thought he just walked on water. He was on TV a lot. Well, he had a song that he put out, and it was called A Part of America Died. So what I thought I'd do is I'm going to read this to you, then I'm going to talk a little bit and pay homage to the officers in Texas, all 12 of them last year, that were taken away from us way too soon. As any Arnold song goes, A Part of America Died. Somebody killed a policeman today, and a part of America died. A piece of our country he swore to protect will be buried with him at his side. The suspect who shot him will stand up in court with counsel demanding his rights, while a young widowed mother must work for her kid and spend alone many long nights. The beat that he walked was a battlefield too, just as if he had gone off to war. Though the flag of our nation won't fly at half-mast, to his name they'll add a ghost star. Yes, somebody killed a policeman today. It could happen in your town or mine, while we slept in comfort behind our locked doors. Thank you for being a cop and putting your life on the line. Now his ghost walks a beat on a dark city street, and he stands at each new rookie's side. He answered the call and gave us his all, and a part of America died. You know, that's pretty much true. And that's what I was talking about. When we hurt someone who stands for right, whether it's a military soldier, whether it's a firefighter, whether it's some EMS personnel trying to save our lives, then we take part of society away from us when those people are hurt, killed, or maimed for doing their job. And we talked about how many people were killed in the United States in law enforcement, and that's the ones that were killed. Every 4 minutes, folks, every 4 minutes. I've been talking already now about minutes. That means that two police officers have already been injured in the line of duty in the last 6 minutes. Every 3 minutes, a police officer is injured in this country somewhere doing their job. Sometimes those officers never get back to duty. They're either permanently maimed, they're permanently handicapped, their minds are jumbled, or whatever it may be. But it's not just the fact that someone is killed. And like I said, there were 144 police officers killed in the line of duty. That's a 12% increase from those that were killed in 2017. In 2017, we only killed 129 in this country. The statistics are going up. The most common cause of death was gunfire and, unfortunately, vehicular accidents while in the line of duty. The majority of the officers who died, 52 of them this year alone, were from gunshot wounds. Not gunshots that were pertained, you know. This is exactly what we're talking about when we look at people that say we need to ban guns. The people that killed these police officers were not law-abiding citizens. That's the point. They were citizens who took their guns in their hands and used them for evil, evil reasons. And that's what we have to look at here. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk a little bit about who and what died in our country, in our state this last year. I'm going to pay homage to the 12 officers. You know, this reminds us that public safety is a dangerous job and can come at a very steep price. We must never take the service and sacrifice of police officers for granted, folks. And we must remember the families of those fallen that we've left behind. Number one, Officer David Sherrod, who was fatally shot from Richardson PD. He was responding to a disturbance in an apartment complex. Dallas Police Officer Rogelio Santanger, fatally shot while assisting with an arrest of a simple shoplifter at a Walmart in Dallas, Texas. Dallas Senior Corporal Earl James Givens, struck and killed by a drunken driver while he was out helping a stranded motorist. Fort Worth Police Officer Garrett Hall, who was shot in the head while trying to respond and trying to stop a robbery at a bar in Fort Worth, Texas. Richard Hale, a Deputy Inspector General with the Texas Juvenile Justice Center. He was killed when his truck was about, or his car was involved with a tractor-trailer accident on the way to a disturbance at one of the juvenile facilities. Round Rock Police Officer Charlie White, who died from injuries after being struck by a suspected drunk driver who was working. He was out working in an accident and was run over. Wayland Baptist University Chief Lonnie Burton, who suffered a pulmonary embolism in June after a work-related injury and surgery the month before. Being a victim of a pulmonary embolism when I was 30 kind of hits home with me. Texas Officer Cumbie Officer Jared Friddle suffered a fatal heart attack while training in July. Nacogdoches County Deputy Sheriff Raymond Bradley killed or removing wreck debris from a wreck in a roadway. Rial County Deputy Sheriff Mark Cox, fatal heart attack while conducting canine training. Water County Deputy Sheriff Lorraine Vasquez, who died while trying to help another person. That could go on and on. That's for every, I could go on for all 144 people in our country. 144 police officers. Last year alone, there were 29,500 police officers that were seriously injured in the line of duty. Seriously injured. So, folks, do me a favor. It is National Police Memorial Week coming up. If you get an opportunity, if you see a police officer, wave at him. Use all your fingers, though. Give him a wave. Let him know that you're thinking about him. True. They're just human beings, but they're human beings that stand for the right and wrong of our country. And the way I thought I would kind of end today is I know that I am absolutely, I'm not going to try to emulate anybody at all. But, you know, there was a radio host who all of us had known and loved over the years named Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey had a thing that he talked about when he talked about farmers, firemen, and he did one when God made police officers. I've done this every year that I've had this radio show for the last 3 years. And what I would like to do is I would like to read this morning to close it out. And toward the end of the show, when I finish it, I'm not going to make any more comments. But do me a favor, folks. Have a great week, everybody. The storms are coming in. Where I'm at right now, it's almost nighttime looking outside. Be safe, everybody. Drive safe. Remember your local police officers. And on the 15th, when it's National Police Memorial Day, if no other day at all, please say a prayer for your local police officers. As Paul Harvey said, when God made police officers, when the Lord was creating peace officers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." And the Lord said, "Have you read the specs on this order? A police officer has to be able to run 5 miles through alleys in the dark, scale walls, enter homes the health inspector wouldn't touch, and not wrinkle his uniform. He has to be able to sit in an undercover car all day long on a stakeout, cover a homicide scene that night, canvass the neighborhood for witnesses, and testify in court the next day. He has to be in top shape at all times. He has to be running on black coffee and half-eaten meals. And he has to have 6 pairs of hands. And the angel shook his head slowly and said, why six pair of hands? No way he could do that. And then replied, it's not the hands that are causing me problems, said the Lord. It's the three pairs of eyes an officer has to have. That's on the standard model, asked the angel. The Lord nodded. One pair that sees their bulge in a pocket before he asks, may I see what's in there, sir? When he already knows and wishes he had taken that accounting job. Another pair here in the side of his head for his partner's safety. And another pair of eyes here in the front that can look reassuredly at a bleeding victim and say, you'll be all right, ma'am, when he knows it isn't going to be so. Lord, said the angel, touching his sleeve, rest and work on this tomorrow. And the Lord replied, I can't. I already have a model that can talk a 250-pound drunk into a patrol car without incident and feed a family of five on a civil service paycheck. The angel circled the model of the police officer very slowly. Can it think? She asked. You bet it can, said the Lord. It can tell you the elements of 100 crimes, recite Miranda warnings in its sleep, detain, investigate, search, and arrest a gang member on the streets in less time than it takes five learned judges to debate the legality of the stop, and still keep his sense of humor. This officer has to be a phenomenal person, must have phenomenal personal control. He can deal with crimes, scenes painted in hell, coax a confession from a child abuser, comfort a murder victim's family, and then read in the daily paper how law enforcement isn't sensitive to the rights of criminal suspects. Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the cheek of the police officer. There's a leak, she pronounced. I told you that you were trying to put too much into the model. That's not a leak, said the Lord. It's a tear. And the angel said, what's the tear for, Lord? It's for bottled up emotions, for fallen comrades in the line of duty, for commitment to that funny piece of cloth called the American flag, for justice. The angel replied, you're a genius. The Lord looked somber and said, I didn't put it there. So, folks, best of luck to all of y'all this week. Say a prayer for your local police officers, especially for the families of those that lost them this year. And God bless all of you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jason Donoth with EBCO Development. At EBCO Development, we want to help you plan for the future. If you have plans for a new office space, residential construction, or a total remodel, EBCO Development is ready to give you a free estimate to help you make plans for that future project now. EBCO Development provides complete commercial and residential construction and roofing. So give us a call first at 254-697-2186. 697-2186. EBCO Development. Let's see what we can build together.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Okay, now I want to go into the product spotlight. I talked about this product some time ago, but I was having a conversation with some people and this gun kept coming up, so I wanted to ad lib it here. But ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer is sponsoring this segment. Known Arch for a long time. He's a great friend, great guy. He's got a great shop there with a whole bunch of guys doing a great job. And that's Clint, Mike, Dennis. They've got pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, accessories, holsters, knives, the whole works. Check them out in Heidenhammer. And they've got this one sitting on the shelf, and that's the Taurus Public Defender. It comes in 45 long Colt and 410 shotgun shells, or 410 gauge. It's a double action, 2-inch. This one's particularly black with the polymer frame. And if you go to AaronsGunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you get to see the picture of me holding it up. Now, let me talk. I want to ad-lib this a little bit. I don't want to really read anything because I've had experience with this gun, and I promote this handgun, especially for women. Or somebody who can look in the mirror and say, I'm not going to do any training because I don't, whatever the reason is, but I've got to have something in the home to defend myself. Get this mental picture in your head. A 38 snub-nosed revolver. You got that in your head? A little snub-nosed revolver. Well, this one, the Public Defender, the Taurus Public Defender, looks like that, only it's a little bit bigger. And what's nice about it is it's multifaceted. Since it takes the 45 long Colt round or a 410 shotgun shell, which you can either use birdshot, buckshot, slug, you've got five rounds to this Taurus Public Defender. You can have it strictly filled with buckshot. So if you're a woman in your bedroom and you feel danger encroaching you, somebody on the other side of the door and they're about to break in reality, in a matter of 2 or 3 seconds, you can put out 15 pellets of buckshot at that bedroom door. That's a wide dispersal rate of ammunition, okay? You don't have to be a marksman. You don't have to be well-trained. You just point the gun in the right direction and pull the trigger with some form of stability, and you're going to have a lot of shells, a lot of buckshot going downrange. Now, if the buckshot may bark a little bit too much, you could put birdshot in it. I tell you what, I don't want to be hit with a whole bunch of birdshot. And if for some reason you're out in the country and you see a hog going by and you need to take that hog down because it's taking down your corn, you can put a slug in your Public Defender with a 410 shotgun shell, or you can put a 45 long Colt and use it that way. So you have a very diversified revolver. And the other nice thing about this particular gun is that it's an idiot gun. Once you load it, all you got to do is pull the trigger. Now, it's a double action revolver. If you've ever taken my class, you know all the differences between the actions. This is a double action, and all that means is
If you have the gun in your hand and the hammer is in the down position, all you got to do is pull the trigger. Pull it, pull it, pull it. Five times, you got five rounds being fired. Or before you pull the trigger, you can cock the hammer first, then pull the trigger. And the difference between those two is poundage. The trigger, when the hammer is in the forward position, takes about 8 to 12 pounds of pressure to pull the trigger. When the hammer's cocked, it sets the trigger back, which causes the poundage on the trigger to be anywhere from 3 to 5 pounds. So if you need that gentle shot, the more accurate shot, the more delicate shot, you can cock the hammer first and use the tip of your finger to pull the trigger or squeeze the trigger and make the gun fire. If you're in aggressive mode and you need some fast firing with ammo going down range, you put that first knuckle over that trigger, pull five times, and you got 15 pellets of buckshot heading down range. So it's an idiot gun. If for some reason round number one doesn't go off because of a bad primer or whatever, you pull the trigger again, as compared to an automatic pistol where you'd have to cycle it, take the mag out, cycle it, get the bad cartridge out. This is an idiot gun. You pull the trigger. If that doesn't work, you pull it again. Ladies, elderly, people who don't practice, this is a fantastic firearm in your home defense arsenal because it's small, compact, and manageable, and it's diversified in its effects as to what you can do with it. Now, if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, once again, you'll see the picture of it. With one hand, you can fire it. With two hands, you definitely can fire it, depending on your size. And this one takes 2 3/4 inch or 2.5 inch shells, whereas the larger size judges, tourist judges, take the 3 inch shells. This one takes the 2.5 inch shell. And the reason I say that is because the 3 inch shells with buckshot have 5 pellets in it. The 2.5 inch shells have 3 pellets in it. But regardless, when you got 5 rounds times 3 pellets each, that's 15 pellets going down range. So it's a good gun for defense. It looks pretty sexy too if you look at it. So once again, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, take a look at it, and then give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417. It's 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it on the radio, you saw the picture on Facebook, and tell them you want to buy it. And if it's gone, they can order you another one. It's a fantastic gun to have in your arsenal for self-defense or just personal carry, license to carry, because it's not that big, especially for a larger person. You wouldn't even notice that it's on you as compared to the small snub nose. So that's it. Check out ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-983-4417. Trey, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to come right into a previously recorded session of my 7 steps of preparedness. Very important, especially for those people who are being concerned about what's going on in the world today.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Hi. I'm Jason Donalek from Edco Development. Sure, someone working out of the back of their truck can always offer you a cheaper price, but sometimes they're kind of hard to find after the job is done. Remember, Edco Development has been there for you for more than 25 years, offering quality roofing, remodeling, new construction, and more. Call us first, 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's January 27, 2018. We're here live, and I have a special guest sitting to my left, Connie Allison, registered nurse Connie Allison. Connie, welcome to the show. I've been trying to get you on for years now.
Yeah, I know.
So it's welcome
to be
here.
Thanks. I'm an RN. I've worked in the ER as a nurse for a little over 3 years, and I've been in emergency medicine for even longer. I was an EMT for about 5 years before that.
So you've got lots of practical experience when it comes to saving lives and just that quick reaction.
Yeah, everything.
Quick response time, I should say, not reaction. She responds to the situation. Well, we got you on here today because I've been wanting to go over... Actually, I was thinking about doing some follow-up segments. I've been wanting to do this for a while on bug-out bags because I haven't spoken about it in a while. And what you need in your bug-out bag and medical supplies and people with conditions is a very important aspect of being prepared. So I wanted to get you on because you're familiar with all the stuff, what's important, and going over things that you can use that might not necessarily be used for what it was intended to, but you can use for something else. So I really don't know where this is going to go, this interview. It's going to go all over the place. So kind of keep me in check here. But I wanted to talk about, I'll give you a list of things that I want to talk about. Medical stuff for the home, your bug out bag, things you can use for other things, tourniquets, sucking chest wounds, not breathing, no pulse. And I think that was it. Yeah, let's go over that and start it off with what you think would work best, and we'll just go from there.
All right. Well, you kind of want to assess your ability. So if you have a little bit of knowledge, that's great, and you can use that. If you have no knowledge, then I would suggest looking up how to use different things, specific stuff, or we could do another show at some point on how to do that. You want to have some kind of tools to make things into other things, because you're not going to have the space to keep everything you need.
Right.
You want like a knife or a multi-tool. You can make bandages out of any kind of cloth or clothing, but what you can't make are clean bandages necessarily. So you want to have at least a few of those, and then worry about the things that are going to kill you, like bleeding to death. And those are the most important things.
Now let's clarify bandages. You've got sterile gauze and you have bandages. Is there a difference between a gauze and a bandage?
Well, it's all basically different forms of bandages, and then you have go into like non-stick stuff. But in an emergency situation, you're not going to worry about that. It's going to be about keeping something clean and covered, and then about stopping bleeding. So if you have anything that's woven, that's going to help clot and cause that bleeding to stop. That's good. If you have an infection and you are not going to be able to get to medical care very quickly, you also want to make sure it's disinfected. So you want some kind of disinfectant or antiseptic, which you can use any kind of like alcohol. If you don't have any cleaner, you can use liquor, whiskey, alcohol.
It depends on who you're healing or saving, right? Because you would not want to waste good whiskey on somebody who may not be deserving of that whiskey, right?
Right. I guess that would be have to check into your priorities.
Okay. What would be a critical error, fatal error, when it comes to the bandage aspect of it? One that's not sterile, you're picking up a grease rag from the floors. Obviously, that's just ridiculous what I said. But is there something that you wouldn't think about that could be very bad when it comes to the first aid people coming?
Yeah, I mean, it would depend. So, like, if it's something that's bleeding, that takes priority over infection, because you can fix infection later if you need to. So stopping the bleeding, if all you have is a dirty rag off of your garage floor, that's what you're going to have to use. If you are not going to be able to get to medical care for a while, then you are going to be more concerned about infection, because a wound infection can turn into a full body infection or sepsis, which can kill you. and that you don't want.
Okay, so if a person is more prepared and they've got their bug out bag or mm-hmm. they've got their medics bag or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and they find they should have these rags or these bandages and things like that, they're isn't pressure a good way to do it too, as compared to just having a bandage? Couldn't your hand on a wound actually stop
it? Absolutely. Direct pressure is the first thing you want to try. I mean, if you have, if it's your own blood, it's not a big deal. If it's somebody else's and you're concerned about that, if you have a glove or something, is nice. But if not, direct pressure is always your first line to try to stop bleeding.
Wouldn't direct pressure usually work on a cut as compared to an arterial cut?
If it's arterial, it's going to be very difficult to stop with direct pressure. You're not going to be able to stop arterial blood. And the way you know the difference is that if it's from a vein or venous blood, it'll be constant, just like trickling of blood, just continuously. If it's arterial, you'll see the spurting, like with your heartbeat.
Okay.
Right. That is dangerous. That is the one that will kill you.
Now, let's talk about that. That's a segue into your tourniquet.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about tourniquets, proper application, types of tourniquets maybe, and you were talking maybe about the medical one,
uh-huh.
or the military one?
Yeah, the CAT tourniquet, that's what we use in the ER. All EMS carries it. They went away from tourniquets for a little while because they were having difficulty with people knowing when and how to use them. If you have arterial bleeding, you should use a tourniquet if you're not going to be able to get to immediate medical attention. If you don't have a medical attendant right there, you need to watch your bleeding. If you have your tourniquet on there and you're still having the bleeding, it's not tight enough. Now, you want to put it on until your bleeding stops. Ideally, you may not have a pulse in that limb afterwards, but it will give you time to get to help.
People have this thought that if you put a tourniquet on and you don't let blood go through it, it's going to kill the limb. Explain that.
Eventually it will, but you can leave a tourniquet on there for a couple of hours before there's damage done. And if you bleed to death, you're not going to care if you have your arm.
That's right. Good point.
Right.
What are the different types of tourniquets? I know you can make tourniquets or you can purchase tourniquets. I know I've purchased a few different types, varieties. The one military one with the bar that locks in is a great concept. But why don't you explain to people what they can do to make a makeshift tourniquet and then what they can buy that's actually able to let you use your second hand?
Yeah. So if you haven't never seen a CAT tourniquet, it's a big Velcro strap, goes around, and then it has a like a plastic bar that you twist. And it tightens every time you twist it, and then it has another Velcro strap that goes over that to hold it. If you don't have one of those, then you can make one. You basically any kind of piece of cloth, string, rope, anything that you can cut and make into a any kind of restrictive device, you tie that, then you can get any kind of stick, a pin, anything you have, stick it through underneath the strap, and then basically twist that. Now the problem there is now you're holding it. You're holding the tourniquet and you are down a hand. What you can do then is tie a string around the stick through the tourniquet. But you would have to have that in before.
You know, we're radio, but that was a good visual. Your verbiage on it was a good visual. They're going to get to see what you just did on the video, but I always try to explain it verbally mm-hmm. so they can get a mental picture. Okay. Necessities. What to talk about some things that are actually vital for the home and vital for your bug out bag, because I think the things in the bug out bag may not be the same that would be at the house, because the house may give you more options, whereas the bug out bag, that's it, that's all you got.
Right. At home, you're going to have more space to carry like basic medications and antiseptics. Obviously, like the clean bandages and stuff are more ideal, and they're better at stopping blood than anything. Now, in the bug out bag, some things that, you know, you can have are maybe different priorities, things that have multiple uses, like, say, for instance, tampons. A lot of people, women need those, right? But you can also use those to stop bleeding. Like if you get shot, you can put those in a gunshot wound.
We just had a question about this.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say tampons are great because you just plug the hole. But then I've heard other comments say it's going to draw blood out.
Well, they are absorbent. So what you can do is you can wrap one in plastic so that it's not sucking that out of there, but it is still something that you can push down into a wound that will hold pressure.
A cork as compared to a sponge.
Essentially, okay. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. That is the difference. That was my next point, because they kind of gone away from using those. Some people use them for nosebleeds, that kind of stuff, but they're made to absorb blood. They're not made to stop blood. Eventually it will, after it fills up, because that blood will clot. Okay. And then unless you get into where you have different
and then at that point, you're just trying to get to some medical location that can take care of the problem. You're just trying to stop that bleeding.
Right. If you don't have that, you can use your finger. It's better than nothing.
Once again, it all depends on who it is, right? Okay.
Right.
What else can we put in that bag?
Well, let's see. We can... paracord's always good because you can make multiple things out of that. A lot of people carry a lot of that.
Let's clarify what paracord is. Ladies and gentlemen, there's different types of cord out there. You got solid cord and paracord. Parachute cord looks like all the other cord, except inside of it, it's got about 7 strands, I believe, of white nylon cord that each one of them can be used for something else. So, and people like make shoelaces out of them in case in a survival situation they can gut their shoelaces because they got all these nylon strings in there.
Right. Okay, right. I always like to have like some kind of plastic bag or sheet plastic folded up because you can use that for a lot of stuff. You can use it for waterproofing your stuff. You can use it for if you're out in the elements, but you can use it too. Also, if you have like a wound on your foot, you don't want to be walking in nasty water or dirt. It can kind of cover that. Or like if you have a penetrating chest injury and you have like a sucking chest wound, it also can help.
Could you clarify on that? Because there's a possibility, because this is a gun show, somebody in a self-defense mode could get a sucking chest wound. What might be the proper procedure for taking care of that?
Well, you want to cover the hole as soon as possible. You basically air sucking into your chest through that wound and is surrounding your lung, making it collapse. If your lung is collapsed, it can't fill up and you don't breathe on that side. You'll see your chest movement. One side will be moving, the other won't. You'll have good air movement on that side.
And so placing the plastic over that seals the hole, causes your system to do what it's supposed to do.
Okay. Initially, first thing you want to do is just put your hand over it. Tight. Put a lot of pressure on it. And then find something else to put over it.
If somebody's wearing clothes, rip the clothes away from that spot to make sure
you cut them off.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We talked about tourniquet. We talked about sucking chest wound. What about not breathing, no pulse? What can we do there?
Well, so if you find somebody that's unconscious and they do have a pulse, you obviously want to breathe for them. You want to call for help immediately before you start because, and then you kind of get into if it's a child or an adult. You want to breathe for them every time you would take a breath. Now, in an emergency, people's breathing patterns are all kinds of messed up. So about once every 5 seconds, you breathe for them. Now, not everybody's going to carry a mask to breathe for them. And if you also have to think about who it is, if you're going to put your mouth on them. Now, if someone does not have a pulse, compressions are most important. So you want to do compressions. It's about 100 beats a minute. I like to sing songs in my head. Staying Alive is a good one. It's got a good beat.
Okay.
It's about the same beat. And then,
give us an example. If you sing the song for us. And,
No. I'm not going to sing.
If you were to sing the song, give an example, though, of what you're talking about, the rhythm. What rhythm on that song are you talking about?
You mean like the beat of the song?
What's the beat?
Staying Alive. Staying Alive.
Okay.
Okay. You got me to sing on the
radio. What would you do with your hands, though?
Well, so you put hands one over each other. Show this on the video. Mid-chest, you want to lock your elbows, and you want to go in at about 2 inches. You will feel ribs break if you're doing it correctly.
Really?
Yes, because your rib cage is designed to protect your heart so that stuff can't get to it. But in order to compress your heart, you have to get to it. You have to break the ribs.
Gotcha.
Bigger the person, the more it's going to take. I would recommend that every person, especially if you have children in your house or you're around people that have children, it's always good to take a CPR class. It's different. When it happens in front of you, you're not going to be able to do it if you just thought about doing it in your head. Or if someone told you how to do it. You have to physically do it to be able to do it in an emergency.
Are you going to know when you broke somebody's ribs?
Probably.
How?
You'll hear it.
Just sounds like a chicken bone.
Or feel it.
Okay.
And it feels.
In most cases.
And it's alarming to someone who's not used to that. The first thing
you
should do
to me listening to you.
In any situation is to take a deep breath. 1 second, you're allowed to panic. And that's all you get. Else you're not going to help anybody else. So you take a deep breath, calm yourself, because your brain will not work in an emergency. You in the ER, we don't panic and we know what to do based off of muscle memory.
Hold your question one second. Show me on the video, when you're doing your compressions, mm-hmm. where you think my ribs would break most likely.
Well, it depends. So probably along your sternum.
Okay, so...
So where your hands are, because that's where you're pushing.
And then that piece down here where they all connect to?
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna, okay, gotcha. Trey, yeah. You had a question?
She's talking about you got to keep calm.
And child.
How is that any different from what you teach in your class?
Exactly. Well,
that's right. Every aspect of life is going to
have it's all about maintaining...
Practice.
Yeah.
Practice.
What's all muscle memory? When you first start as a nurse in emergency situations, you freeze. You get the deer in the headlights because your brain shuts off and it's basic fight or flight and you want to run. Or you freeze. That's it. If you don't know what to do because you've done it over and over and over again, you're not going to do it in an emergency. I've had so many people tell me, oh, yeah, I know how to do that if my kid chokes. Or I know. You don't. You know now. But
it's
they're
amazing.
Not choking.
Every aspect of life has its own parameters. Like, I'm clueless when it comes to this. I mean,
yeah.
I know my basics, but if you were to put me in the ER, I'd probably
yeah.
shut down because
you
like,
haven't
I don't
practiced.
Know what to do.
So if you're listening, in you're like, oh, I can do that. That's not that hard. Sing Staying Alive and push on their chest. Got it. But it's and that's essentially the basics of it. There's, you know, more technicality to it. But if you're just, that's the best you can do. In the moment, because you're not in a medical setting. But if you don't practice it, you're not going to be able to do it. So if that's something you're interested in or you want to do that, you should go and take the class, practice on the dummies, because when an emergency happens, your muscle memory is going to kick in and you're going to remember how to do it because you feel like your body do it.
I'm going to title this segment Registered Nurse Connie Allison Sings Staying Alive.
No, please don't.
Okay, what do we got? About
no one
minute?
Wants that.
I don't have a fixed okay. break for this one. So whenever you're ready.
Connie, we're going so fast in here. There's so much other stuff I wanted to go to, but we only talked very little about what's in your bug out bag. Give me some other ideas of what we can do there, because I want to get into the bug out bag segments in the next weeks to come,
mm-hmm.
and you'd be the precursor as to what medical stuff would go in there.
Well, I can go into a whole list of how you pick out everything. I would suggest some kind, especially if it's for you, you know, you don't in your car. If you get stranded somewhere, you're going to want some kind of water source, some way to purify water, or I at least would keep a bottle of water in there for short term. If it's meant for, I'm going to be gone for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have children, they dehydrate easier. And then you want to make sure if you have any specific medical conditions, if you're diabetic, you want glucose in there. You also want insulin, which is difficult because insulin needs to be refrigerated, so you have to think about that. You may want a separate pack that you keep in your refrigerator that you can grab with your stuff. If you have certain medications, heart medicine, that kind of stuff you want to take with you. Those are very important, and you need to take that into consideration, your personal stuff, whenever you're going.
What about the Rambo packet where you're sewing yourself? Would that be a legitimate thing to have, needle and thread?
If you feel comfortable and that you can use it. If you're not going to be able to use it, don't put it in there. It's just taking up space. Same thing with like IV kits. I see a lot of stuff where people want to put IV stuff in their bags. But if you don't know how to start an IV, then it's wasting space.
I think part of it is like once prepared, you can't know it all. I mean, you can have a generality of it.
Right.
You may not know it all, but hopefully if you've got it and somebody else knows, yeah, I got that. You know, you have it
that's
in the
true.
Bag as a backup. Because a lot of times that's what I do. I'm thinking, not everybody knows what I know.
Right.
But if I'm there, I can help them, and I know they're not going to have what they need, but if I'm fortunate enough and able to have backup, I can supply them, and now
right.
I just double my efforts.
Yeah, but Matt, you've already figured out the 8 people you're going to grab when things hit the fan.
Yeah,
so you know what skill sets you're planning for.
But you
yeah.
never know, man. I might be
well,
somewhere
I guess
where
that's true. So if something were to happen and I run into somebody that...
You do a Terminator. Come with me if you want to live, you know?
Well, so like say, you know, you're in a situation and you need an IV. I don't have any IV stuff, but you have it. You don't know how to use it. But I could use it.
It's like you saying, damn, if I only had an IV. Hey, I got one, you know, square away.
That's true. If you have extra space, for sure. But if you have a limited amount of space,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put stuff in there that you're not.
And you got to consider your body strength, too. If you're not able to carry this big, huge freaking rucksack, you got to keep it slim and trim, tight and light.
Yeah.
Okay, we better wrap this up. Connie, what can you say in the final 30 seconds or so of, I don't know, what can you tell us that would just enlighten us for the rest of the week?
Well, I would say if you have to pick one thing to carry with you, that's the most likely thing that's going to save your life, I would put a tourniquet in your car. I would get a good cat tourniquet and I would put it in your car because it may not be for you. You might come up on a wreck.
Somebody only had a tourniquet. I've got one, right?
Somebody's bleeding to death. But not anymore.
All right, Connie, we're going to wrap it up. I can't thank you enough for coming on finally. Yeah. Hopefully we can get you on again and maybe be a progressive type of deal. Tip of the week from Connie Allison. And give us some feedback, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be on YouTube probably Tuesday. And you can check that out. Like it, comment positively. And hopefully we'll get her back on. So, Connie, it's great having you on. And, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. Trey, take us out. When we come back, we're going to have the awesome Master Cindy Key beating the heck out of me, probably with some other technique. Oh, no. She's got a knife in her hand. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
Can't believe you're done.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalock from EBCO Development. What happens when that bargain roofing job fails? Your roof leaks and your ceiling is damaged. You pay for it. That's what. Especially when your bargain roofer is uninsured. Good idea? No. So why take chances? EBCO Development has been there for you since 1984. New construction, roofing, remodeling, siding, and more. Call us first. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
My day job. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here. I don't have a guest today because I wanted to go over some things. You hear me on the radio here, but I wanted to make sure you understood what this radio show does, what the gun shop does. So I'm going to spend just a few minutes before we go over some penal code as to where you can go with a concealed weapon and where you can't go, okay? What does Aaron's offer? It's got a great radio show that you're listening to now covering the following topics. We've got true stories of self-defense analyzed by me. And the reason I've done that from the beginning is because we can learn from other people's mistakes or other people's successes. We can go, huh, I didn't think about that one. or hey, I'm not going to do that one. But what we have learned from reading those stories is one of the biggest things we've learned is when you hear something, don't investigate it first. Get your weapon first. That's one of the biggest things I push. The other thing is, if you're going to shoot your weapon, shoot your weapon. If you're going to shoot your weapon, don't take a warning shot. Don't try to wing them. You're meant to stop the threat. If that's what you're going to do, you better take a good shot. And be prepared to do follow-up shots and have as much ammunition as you can possible. When it's the gun for the home, it should have a flashlight on it. It should be high capacity. It should be one that you can get to quickly, easily, know how to use. And like I said, have a flashlight on it. So that's a great part of the program, even though it's a short segment. It can be funny, it can be serious, and it can be definitely informative. Then we've got the superb legal aspects with Super Attorney Rick Dodd, Attorney Extraordinary Ben Ross Watson. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot tell you how much you can benefit from these gentlemen. Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm sponsors this extended segment, and we go over every aspect of law that you can think of when it comes to just your rights, constitution, your gun laws, the whole works, penal codes. Aaron'sGunShop.com, go to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel, watch the videos. I get irritated at people who come up to me and ask me questions when I tell them the answer, and that it is your responsibility to go and find out more information above and beyond what I do. And here's a great place to go. Go to my YouTube channel. You're getting top-notch attorneys giving you free information for over 30 minutes. You know what that would cost you? An hour's rate with a prominent attorney is probably that much money. You're getting 30 minutes of it for free. You need to go to it. Aaron'sGunShop.com. Go to the YouTube channel and subscribe and start listening to the videos. Or go to the radio page and listen to the podcast. It goes back 5 years. Extremely important. Tactical snacking. The delicious Janae Goodman, she's got her act together. She knows her stuff. Like I know guns, she knows cooking and food. And she provides every Saturday a segment about 5 minutes long. She spends her time during the week to make sure she gets something that hopefully matches what I'm doing. And if not, it's seasonal. But she does a fantastic job. She tries to help everybody figure out how to stretch those pennies, use what you got in the refrigerator, come up with concept ideas, how to grow your own food, all sorts of great stuff. So support her. If you got a sponsor out there who's looking to sponsor a food type of deal, this would be a great thing. People dial into her specifically to listen to what she's got to say. The Voice of Law Enforcement, a 45-year police veteran, retired police chief, Randy Dixon, gives us his words of wisdom and experience from over the years. I mean, he's got a ton of information to give out there. It's incredible what he's a walking encyclopedia. I say that. The epitome of encyclopedia. He's got so much information. You can talk about any topic and he'll come up with his history of knowledge and wisdom when it comes to that. Then we've got product spotlights. I just read to you the EC9, Ruger EC9 from ANC Firearms and Hyde Hammer. Let me tell you something about Arch Koontz. This guy's incredible. Nice guy. He's just a nice guy. And he's very supportive of me and this program. It's disgustingly nice how nice he is to me. I mean, he's just so generous of a guy, and he'll treat you so right at that shop, ANC Firearms and Hyde Hammer. Give him a call, 254-983-4417, and they've got also anything you want, they can get it for you, as long as it's legal. And then we've got interviews with great and interesting people who provide knowledge and viewpoint on a wide variety of topics. You got the YouTube channels filled with great videos like I told you about. They've got the podcast. If you missed a show, no worries about that. Just go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the radio page, pull up any one of the podcasts. It's filled with 2 hours of useful and interesting information. It helps to keep you, it supports you, basically. And the sponsors could really appreciate you supporting them, who support me. Like I said, it's a circle of life. So that's basically the radio show. When it comes to the gun shop, yeah, sure, I sell guns. I sell them online, though, okay, because I don't keep them in the shop. I do transfers like $25, depending if you've got multiple guns. We've got one-on-one training, family training, group training, schools. We teach schools and churches. We do our LTC courses. Got the indoor range to do it all. Got the shoot house. Look, there's no place around here that you can go and do a shoot house and learn all the techniques of what it takes to protect yourself, turning corners, going down funnels, fatal funnels, the whole works. It's just a great thing. So check it out, aaronsgunshop.com. Check out all the different pages of what we have to offer.